Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Ethiopian Adoptees Unapologetically Unfiltered. I'm so glad you could join me. Today, you are all stuck with a solo episode. I'm still working on some interviews before some of our lovely adoptees go back to school and trying to get all that sorted. But in the meantime, I thought maybe we could discuss the giant elephant in the room, or at least in my, you know, personal life, which is something I like to call the holiday hangover. And I know we have some younger ones listening, but by that, I just mean the holiday exhaustion, the holiday sadness, the holiday frustration, all those not necessarily positive words, but you know, that's just the truth on my end. And I genuinely believe the holidays are just so stressful for everyone. And that's just to say that I know it's holly and jolly and merry and exciting and giving and all that. But, I think that's really stressful for a lot of people. I know I see people in my extended family and people also in my immediate family. Everybody's really stressed. So I think regardless, I think everybody's just like, oh, okay, we made it through. You know, now we can kind of continue after that, like, New Year's lump. But I think that, you know, for Ethiopian adoptees, and from my personal experience, I feel that exhaustion, but there's an additional exhaustion, I guess, is more of like a, an onion, you know, the layers, and there's layers of exhaustion, and where it comes from, and it's partly the season, but, you know, the holidays is a big time, and there's a big emphasis on family, and whatever that means to you. And I know, where I grew up, you know, it meant being around relatives, and having those family connections and catching up, and there's a big emphasis on family, and there's a big emphasis on you know what you're doing, and kind of having to give everybody a recap of kind of your life thus far, the semester, all that lovely stuff. And I remember as a kid, I was particularly exhausted for many reasons. I guess I can kind of go through them individually, but I remember at the beginning, the parties themselves were exhausting, right? There was just a lot of newness, and I found that to be extremely exciting, but also extremely exhausting. As certain things in our personal household, they were getting figured out and worked through, and that was an adjustment for me. I would kind of dread family gatherings, and I found them to be incredibly exhausting, and I didn't find them as nearly exciting as they used to be for me. Those, you know, when we were younger, and I really enjoyed it. And I think I made that emphasis on, okay, if they like me enough, if I get along well enough, if I get the, if I'm a good student, if I'm a good member, if I'm there and I'm entertaining and I'm funny and I'm interesting and I'm open, and God knows, as long as they felt comfortable, I thought, I was like, okay, maybe I was now part of the family. I would feel that would be okay. And then maybe as long as I got that approval, I could sustain that sort of thinking, but it didn't work over time. I just got frustrated and exhausted. And I saw that just because, they liked me, and because maybe I was agreeable and all these things that I made them feel comfortable. I found that that's very, very different than from feeling a part of the family. I'm not necessarily blaming my family. I'm simply saying that's the way I felt. I didn't feel like I was ever fully a part of them. And, I remember, especially when, as I got older and kids would mention it and holidays, you'd be like, oh my gosh, you look just like your mom when you were whatever, and you're like, you look like your dad, you got this from your father, and then, you and your cousins look, and it goes on and on and on, and these are such small, tidbits and little details that some of you may never think of, and even over time, I kind of learned to not pay attention to, despite, it hurts somewhere. And this isn't to say that, like, people can't notice those similarities. We do it culturally, talk about the T-zone and Ethiopians and how we can kind of tell that and all that stuff. But it's not a bad thing, but it's a reminder. It's another reminder that you're on the outside. You're not as a part of this family unit as you thought you were. You're different. You know, you don't carry those, you know, physical traits that connect to the family. First, especially if you're, you know, Black and you were, you know, you're adopted by white parents, and it's just an automatic given. And on top of that, there are layers and layers and layers. So you just go there. And I felt that for me during holidays, that was a big thing that came up. And there was a big emphasis, and I think it is everywhere. I know everybody gets frustrated about it, but there was an emphasis on achievement. And I feel like in my family, it's people are you know, they're really smart. I can say I have a very incredibly smart, you know, family and extended family, and sort of in that sort of like intellectual collegiate way. And it's when I remember at a young age, I realized that that was really important, and that's something that I needed to grasp. Granted, I think I felt like I was totally a fraud. I really thought I was a fraud, and people could see through me, and I was like, I wasn't as smart as I wanted to be. But I felt this need that, like, I needed to show that I could keep up with them, that, and I don't know, there was like a standard to be a part of the family, and especially I was considered the oldest in kind of in many ways. And that also sucked the life out of me. I would do things so that I could, you know, make my parents feel like they put a good investment in me. And then I was kind of relaying that during those kind of family get-togethers. And I had to be something interesting. I had to be somebody that was impressive. I had to be somebody that belonged amongst these people that have had a very different start than me. We were so different in a variety of ways. And just from the sheer, you know, place where we started makes a huge difference, and what's happened in our lives made a huge difference in how we're going to experience the world and what we can do, and or maybe at the time and the pace that we can do it. And I wasn't really understanding that, so I was really, really exhausted. And then over time, I was, I guess, having an identity crisis as well throughout various years, in the sense that I there's a point where I realized that no matter how white I tried to be, I wasn't white, and I'm in a room full of white people, you know, with their history, with their family, with their bloodline, that emphasis on you know, the genetics and all that. And I'm like, I literally don't belong in that way. And then you're just kind of listening that, you know, I was having issues with Black people in the sense that, like, I really didn't feel like I belonged with them. And then you know, our adoptees, many of the adoptees, especially the way I saw them at the time, and of course it's changed over time, is that I just didn't think we were connecting. I think we were all so busy trying to keep up an illusion in our everyday life that we didn't even have time to reach out to each other and really talk about it. But I feel like family that, you know, maybe that I had that I didn't really have, because we were all just kind of figuring out on our own, and, you know, we just didn't have any energy. And so the holidays, going back to the holidays and like the holiday hangover, it's rough. I find it incredibly difficult, and I find it incredibly frustrating. And I think it puts me in a mental space that I try to avoid and I try to stay away from. I think it forces me to kind of pull away an illusion that kind of helps me sustain this personality and this sort of life that I'm in right now, that I feel is very fragile. And I think that's what it always goes back to. And you know, there's just the identity of an adoptee feels so fragile. And that's because of the way we were brought up. That's the way that we were, you know, or the lack of maybe support in the way we should see ourselves. I think it's just, there's a level of exhaustion I feel the adoptees that we have, or at least a different type, you know, that I feel is in some way unique to our experience. And talking to other adoptees has made me feel less crazy. I think at some points I was like, again, going back to, wow, I'm super ungrateful. Like, who am I to feel this way? Who am I to question that? I'm so ungrateful. You know, I can't imagine somebody else that might want, you know, have this position or be in my position. you know, I'm so grateful. Like, how is it really that even that bad? You know, maybe it's just, this is just the normal and I got to suck it up. Like, what else did you expect? And I think overall it was, you know, just smile your way through it, say that it's fine, convince yourself that it's fine. But, you know, those feelings don't go away. If that's truly how somebody feels, how I felt, it just didn't go away. And over time, especially during the holidays, I found that, like, it was kind of like that piercing of that veil. And I realized that it's really frustrating, and I find it really hard to kind of even look at some people's faces for long periods of time, or you know when I'm saying you know nice to meet you, you're nice to see you, XYZ, and I'm like, wow, you know, I have those back at home or back in Ethiopia, or I wonder who they are, you know, because I know that more likely than not they're probably still alive in Ethiopia. And then as I've kind of expressed to you, you know, I think the mother and father thing for me, like, my parents aren't alive, but I think, and to some extent, I've kind of made peace with that. And I think there are a lot of questions that I feel like are no longer even important for me to ask or want to know because they're gone. And I think that in some sort of ways, like a finality, like in like closing that door, but there's also like a different, I guess, door that's slightly open. And for me, that's like the problems with having parents that have passed away. And I think even for me, it further confused that those feelings, because I feel like, okay, well, there is no other family for me. Like, there is, but there isn't. And I think because we think of family, especially in this Western society, through this mother and father figure, and my mother and father are gone, therefore, is my family dead? You know, I know they're not. But I think that's kind of the thought that I had. And I just remember being, like, confused, you know, because I wanted that family, I wanted that whatever, and I wanted to be like, I have my own, but then I didn't, so I was like, oh, maybe I should be extra grateful that I was adopted, because I don't have a mom, dad, like, they're gone as far as I know, and so it gets complicated, it gets so hard to understand, and so hard to justify, because one minute you're like, yeah, you know, I really feel this way, and the next you're feeling so guilty, and you're like almost ashamed, you know, when I'm about to, like, look at my parents' face or my siblings' face or my other relatives, I'm like, oh, like, you know, who am I? And I think that's such a hard place to be in year round, and when it gets amplified in the winter, and especially, you know, with the cold and in the darkness and all that, it just, like, it really just kind of adds, it's like the cherry on top, and it's just this feeling of loneliness at a level that is extraordinary for me at a time when I couldn't be surrounded by people more, you know, and I think that's just kind of, you know, those experiences that might be hard to understand or connect with, but then for adoptees, I think there's many of us, and at least some of us that I've really spoken to, saying that that's true, and I think there's so much power in adoptees being connected. I genuinely don't know where I would be today if I had not gotten really close with an adoptee at a very young age. She became my kind of my bedrock, my therapist, my like third party, you know, that I could really rely on to make sure that I wasn't going crazy. You know, was this really wrong? You know, should that not have happened? You know, I feel really bad for feeling this way. Okay, you feel it too. Okay, so it's not this like crazy, I'm messed up and I'm ungrateful. And I think a part of that is because I put on a show, you know, and that's what kind of happened. You know, I would put on a show out into society, and I was smiling and nice, and people could tell that I was anxious as a kid, but when people would treat me that way, as if I'm okay, as if I am fine, it would further frustrate me, because inside I was, you know, I don't want to say dying, but I was lost, and I was frustrated, and I was confused, and I really didn't feel like I had a solid foundation of understanding of, like, who I even was supposed to be. I think there's so much, I think it's interesting, because in society, a lot of the time we talk about wishing we had some sort of manual, you know, the one that we get for anything we build and construct, you know, in our daily life, but nobody tells you the game of life, you know, or what position you're playing, you know, as an adoptee, here's your card, that this is what you should do. It's all, you know, going in there, and it's genuinely a sink or swim. I think when people use that term, I really feel like I do understand it, because at some points I genuinely felt like I was drowning in this game I had to play, that I wasn't sure if I was playing correctly, you know, and, you know, like, who am I, you know, in in connection, in relation to you know, this biological family that has their own history, that has their own life, then now that I'm expected through no choice of my own to meet their standards, fit into their family, become somebody that's acceptable of them. And because you stick out, you better be extra on point. You better be extra, you know, the only thing that should be different is your skin color. And so, like, what do you do? What do you do when all that's going on, you know? And it becomes an incredibly, you know, frustrating time. It's very confusing, and it really makes you feel like you're going crazy because you're not sure, because there's no manual, you know. There's no manual. And I think a big way that people find out, you know, what you're supposed to do is by simply looking around you, right? You figure out, you know, what you want to do or what you're supposed to do by watching the people around you. And of course, as adoptees, many of us have done that. We turn to our adopted parents, we turn to our siblings, we turn to the kids in our class and to the teachers. We turn to, if we had an option, you know, the only other person we really looked to was ourselves, if we could find somebody in reach or if we had their phone number and things like that. So it became this thing that was really hard, because the people that we're trying to mimic weren't like us on so many levels, and in fact had completely failed to factor in what we had gone through. Like it wasn't really being applied, it wasn't being understood. And by the end of the day, it's like we really get stripped of that autonomy, and we're not sure if that's okay or not, because there's nobody else we can talk to. There's not that connection. There's definitely nothing we can look at to kind of, no instructions, but you know, there's sometimes so many of us are also, we weren't as connected and we didn't talk about these crazy things or these important things as adoptees when we were younger. So we just did what we did and we mimicked what we saw, and as unfulfilling it was, it became a survival of the fittest. And the way you made it through, and maybe you could find some sheer of excitement and happiness and something else that you also genuinely like, you followed what you saw. And I know for me, it didn't take me as far as I could have gone if I was fully aware of who I was, you know, as a person, as an adoptee, you know. And so, you know, it's such an alienating experience. I know I'm all over the place, and I think my ADHD is really showing here, but you know, the holidays became a time where I kind of felt just like this heavy weight. And of course, I'm not saying all the time, because, you know, you'd have great conversations and people and whatnot. But I feel like it was just like that during those bigger events, that whole like Christmas, like Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, you know, that sort of stress, that sort of stretch. There's just so much going on at that time. And I feel like I it just comes out at another level, and as a level that, you know, nobody really wants to deal with. And again, nobody wants to, especially at that sort of time, want to be reminded of or have those feelings of, wow, like I genuinely don't belong. Like, who am I? You know, what am I to them? To what extent do I belong here? To what extent? Like, what am I deserving of? What am I worthy of? Where do I fit in? To what can I complain about? To what extent should I be listened to, or should I be respected, or should my autonomy be respected? And that sort of ideal gets, you know, it can get a little dicey, and you know, there can be a lot of arguments and conversations over this, and I'm sure there have been. But, you know, getting stripped of your autonomy, you know, throughout that, especially throughout that process of adoption, where you are the thing that is so important in this transaction between people, you know. However, your needs and wants are selectively being met, and it's really frustrating. So you become this kind of product that gets thrown around, and you act this way here, and then you act this way in the orphanage, and then you act this way, you know, when you meet the parents, and then at this age you're supposed to act like this, and that is just, it's very frustrating. And I think over time we just begin to think that, like, we don't have any autonomy. We have to constantly look for somebody else to tell us that that is correct and that is what we should be doing. And I think that, and there's just, it doesn't really stop, it just gets different. And I think a great example of that is right off the bat, like when you're adopted, having, you know, had at some point in time or still have like parents, like a mom and a dad, and you have like siblings and you have cousins and you have all these people, and then you're coming back and like, this is auntie. What makes her auntie to me? Like, you know, I think having an aunt is, you know, blood, but we don't share blood, right? It's also maybe the kind of ways how our relationship work. I don't know this woman, you know? And this is, you know, just generally, okay, this is mom, this is dad. Okay, but I had them. Okay, well, okay, yours are dead, but doesn't mean, like, what makes them that? Because they legally bought me. That's what now I'm forced to call them that way. And that's in, you know, that's just what they told you. You know, this is sister. What makes her my sister? You know, is she trustworthy? Is she kind? Is she gonna look out for me? Am I welcome? You know, is she gonna support me? What is that? You know, what have you done to prove to me that you're a father and that you're a mother and that you're my siblings and you're my aunt and you're my uncle and you're my grandma? Like, you know, and I think even like at that basic level, people don't want to have the conversation because it's so uncomfortable. And adoptees, you know, you put them in this place, and I was like, wow, I can't be saying that, because they're gonna get so angry, and it becomes this whole thing about not angry, but some parts of people in my family I know for a fact would be baffled by that, because they'd be like, I this is nothing to be, you know, we're trying to be kind and open and whatever. And I'm like, that's incredibly messed up. Because how would you feel if I told you to call these random other people in a different country your relatives? You'd be like, no, you're not. You're not, you know? And I always think about like how this is like definitely like a random tangent, but when you watch some of those movies, some of those Disney movies, I know some of them can be problematic, and I think I'm thinking of like Tarzan maybe, or other, like, you know, I don't know, maybe it's not the best example, but you know, when you have somebody new and different coming into the group, there's like this time of acclimating that person into that society, and it's showing them that you can trust them by being there for them and all these things. But I just, there's such a weird way to kind of connect that. But as adoptees, I genuinely feel like there was no transition time. You know, I feel like so many of us felt like we were kind of vessels for our parents or our families to kind of, you know, exist at a different level. I don't know, that doesn't really make much sense, but our relationship with them became really complicated, and it was just this sort of like forced, assimilation into a culture that we didn't say we wanted, that we accepted. You know, there was no really conversation about that. These labels of, you know, family, like important titles, you know, to hold within a community and within the, you know, this idea of a family, those, you know, labels being dad and mom and sibling and sister and brother and all these things, they, you know, nobody, those are important. They're not just, you know, there's a reason why I don't call some random man my dad and some random man my mother. There's an importance there that we've established, at least here in Western society. And, you know, that isn't even considered, you know, we're just really forced to just go about it. And I think the holidays, makes me think about that. You know, I think about, wow, like, I say this, you know, these things, like, but, you know, it's so funny how I never felt like I really had the opportunity to do anything differently. Like, this is what I had to do, you know, and it's a reminder, okay, you know, my parents are dead, that, you know, that makes you feel a certain way, and okay, wow, should I have done this, or I feel so burnt out that I'm, and I feel so bad that I'm not doing enough, and maybe I should be doing enough, and it genuinely is a never-ending cycle, but, you know, it really is what it is, and I guess what I'm saying is that, like, I hear you to those adoptees. I feel you. It's frustrating. It's confusing. It's absolutely exhausting. I've slept a lot, way more. And I find it very hard to get, sometimes even get up and be as productive as I feel like I need to be. And, I feel like, you know, it's just all these things, but it's been physically difficult, and I feel a level of exhaustion that I've never really felt in my life. And I feel a level of frustration that's so hard to put into place, because I've learned to love all these individuals in my life, but I've also learned how misinformed and disinformed their way of doing it was, to the point that it's really complicated my relationship with myself and with other people, my ability to set boundaries, my ability to protect my peace, you know, and that it's not selfish to do so, and to be able to say no to certain things, or, you know, and all these things. And, you know, and it just really comes to light. And I find the holidays, you know, for that reason, just so, so difficult. But to the adoptees, I absolutely feel you and I hear you. If I didn't express something that you feel, you know, go ahead and feel free to message in or come talk about it. I know we all have varying views. Maybe for some people it is. They feel the most connected and loved and supported and, you know, like most a part of that, you know, their community and their adoptive family at that point. And if that's really genuinely the way, I wouldn't want you to feel horrible. it's not a great experience. So that's your experience, you know. I totally respect that, and I'm happy for you. My experience just happens to be something quite different. So, you know, take that as you will, take that with a grain of salt. But yeah, you know, the hangover, the holiday hangover is real, and I totally understand. So that was just a very random, I guess not so random, but more of just thoughts that I wanted to put out there as they really came to me. But I think that kind of talking about this, you know, emotional holiday hangover that adoptees feel, or at least that's the way that I feel, and I know that some of my adoptee friends also feel. I think it's important to talk about it, and I think it's important to know that, you know, you're in good company. And I'm not sure if what I said makes any sense, and maybe there's a better way to explain it, or maybe, again, you don't particularly wouldn't say that this is the way you feel, and that's okay. Adoptee experiences exist on a spectrum. That's something that's really hard for a lot of people to understand, and even more frustrating, because we want everything to be cookie cutter and to fit, and, you know, we want all adoptees to be happy and to have had the best experiences in their adoptive family and with their adoptive family. We want to kind of paint it as this beautiful thing. And, you know, it is for some people, but that's just unfortunately not the case. And that's okay for those stories to exist and for those people to speak on it, and for it to maybe not be the you know, this glamorous thing that you might have wanted to hear. And I think I also put in there that throughout my experience, you know, just doing this podcast and having such an amazing opportunity to connect with so many people, and that have DM'd me, and even other adoptee friends that, you know, I had been disconnected with and who have reached out, you know, I think it's been so beautiful to see, you know, the connection that's being, you know, kind of resurfaced and, you know, kind of growing stronger, and to know that, you know, everybody's in good company. You know, not everybody agrees with what I'm saying. And I think a big thing that I've kind of experienced is I've had kind of a bit of a shock that people were surprised that, you know, Ledette was being so outspoken, because for those of, you know, of you or of those people that, you know, those have expressed some sort of, you know, surprise, you know, they know me to be a very agreeable person, somebody who would never bring up something that's controversial, or I would tend to take more of a neutral stance. And I think that version of me, you know, I really needed to get through, you know, my life thus far. But I also know that at this point in my life, I know what my opinions are about certain things about adoption. I'm also willing to totally say that I don't understand some things, and I'm also very comfortable with that. And I understand for those of you that are maybe a little frustrated or angry or upset that someone that you know that's, you know, been so agreeable and tends to kind of stay away from kind of murking the waters a little bit, you know, kind of has chosen to do so. But I'm excited that I'm doing this, because I've seen just a sheer amount of adoptees, listeners, all those people that have, you know, really, have felt connected and heard through this. And, Thank you to those of you who've reached out and said as much. It's really helped me to continue doing this, which is comfortable at times, maybe when I'm recording by myself, but then when I put it out there, it gets really nerve-wracking, but it's good to know that it, you know, it's being well received by some. But thank you for listening to another episode. I hope you know, you're able to get something out of this one. And once again, there's beautiful things in the work, and I cannot wait to, you know, kind of, you know, put all that out there as I finish it. But until next time, bye-bye.